Documentary voiceover. Discovery Channel. How Stuff Works. Chocolate. Writer-producer Adrian Mayer. From rich Hershey bars to decadent truffles to beautiful bonbons, our world is cuckoo for cocoa. But there's more to this sweet confection than just the world's most popular flavour. Chocolate fueled the Aztecs' lust for conquest, expanded the Spanish Empire, powered the Allies in World War II, introduced stimulants to the Western world, and today could save the rainforest. Everything you need to know is right here, now, on How Stuff Works. Chocolate is one of the most ancient, alluring, and richly complex foods on Earth. More than 1,200 individual organic compounds have been identified in its makeup. Through the ages, it's been used by emperors for sex, workers for energy, and by soldiers marching off to war. Billions of pounds of chocolate products are consumed every year all over the globe in every conceivable shape, size and seasoning. But beyond the massive candy factories that endlessly churn out this simply satisfying concoction, what is chocolate and where does it really come from? In the United States alone, chocolate is a $13 billion a year industry, with each American consuming an average of 12 pounds of the stuff a year. And to find out its origins, you have to head south towards the equator. It's harvest season in Belize. Time to grab some big lush cacao pods and whip up some wine. But where's the chocolate? Well, this is chocolate. It's just that the Mayans in these parts made cocoa wine way before they turned chocolate into food. In the village of San Felipe, subsistence farmer Juan Hill harvests cacao pods off his four-acre farm and makes some of the Mayan moonshine with the help of his mother Cerilia. The cacao trees on a typical plantation like Juan's thrive under the comforting shadow of taller trees. Juan and his workers harvest cacao by picking the fleshy pods right off the trees, placing them in bags, then dumping them in piles. Juan rips out the fleshy fruit pulp and places it in buckets to ferment for 90 days. He performs the process year-round and already has a load of the stuff ready for the final stage. Now it's time for a little sugar, stirring in the fizzing goo to add flavour and speed up the fermentation. When Juan pours his custom-made jungle juice through a screen to weed out the chunks of fruit. Several thousand years ago, in the lush tropical jungles of Northwest Amazon Basin, an enterprising native first noticed some of these odd pods hanging from a clump of trees. Cracking open the crusty shells revealed a first look at a whole other interior world. Chocolate. The early gourmands were thought to have first scraped and eaten the fleshy white fruit and used the beans for medicine. Eventually, a budding genius left chunks of fruit pulp out in a bowl, and soon it was time to party. At some point, the lush cacao pods in the Amazon began moving north, carried by primates, rudely transported by nature, and carted by humans blazing new trade routes over land and by boat. About 4,000 years ago, the first traces of domesticated cacao began showing up in Mesoamerica, now Central America. Archaeologists have discovered ancient pottery shards with traces of theobromine and caffeine, the chemical signatures of cocoa. The early drinking vessels had long, skinny spouts, thought to be perfect for pouring cacao wine and filtering out the pulp. Centuries after its introduction, cacao becomes widely domesticated in the humid, lush lowlands of Juan's ancestor in Mesoamerica and is tightly woven into Mayan culture. To the Maya, the fecund cacao pod represents the wellspring of life, resonant with energy and vitality. But hey, let's hold off on the sex stuff for now. Juan just wants his wine time. Soon after its introduction, cacao power begins spreading in Mesoamerica. The native cultures start drinking up its symbolism and meaning. Okay, so we've sipped some cacao wine, but where's that darn chocolate bean? Juan and Cirilia know what you want. After being ripped from the cacao pod, the fleshy beans are placed in a fermentation box sealed with banana leaves for 7 days. After a week in the sun, the chocolate beans are dry and ready for roasting for several hours on top of a comal, a rudimentary open oven. Once the chocolate nibs are separated from the husk, they're sacrificed on a volcanic stone metate and ground with a rock roller. After an hour of elbow grease, the beans turn into a flaky powder, then a coarse paste, and finally a pure chocolate liquid. Add a little hot water and sugar, and soon the ancient potion is ready to sip. But why and how did this a unique pod get domesticated in Mesoamerica? For cacao to thrive, it needs rich soil, steady rainfall, and intense heat, but also protection from the wind and sun, perfect in the lowlands rainforests of Central America. After eating the pulp and drinking its wine for centuries, the region's Maya finally stumbled onto the secret of the seed around 600 BC. And wow, was it a flavour to savour. It had a taste and smell that was otherworldly. And it was a booster shot with quite a bang. But what does all this have to do with counterfeiting? To understand, you've got to jump ahead a couple of thousand years. By the time the Aztec civilization took over most of Central America in the 14th century, cacao had ascended to the divine. And communing with the gods by drinking chocolate was reserved for the powerful, the emperor, the aristocracy, the priesthood, the warrior and merchant classes. It's commonly thought that the Aztec emperor Montezuma consumed up to 50 cups of chocolate a day before retiring to his harem. Chocolate and blood were also seen as symbolically connected, bequeathed by gods as a source of vitality and power. But what the gods giveth, the gods taketh away, and for the Aztecs, supplying their deities with reciprocal offerings of blood and chocolate was a way to maintain the natural balance and order. The two were powerfully intertwined during the ritual of human sacrifice. But the Aztecs faced a cocoa conundrum. There ain't none in the cold, dry highlands of central Mexico where they were based. Once the Aztecs took over a province, it was tax time. Payment was in cacao. Dried cacao beans were soon used as money throughout Mesoamerica. And right behind those valuable beans came the counterfeiters. Counterfeiters and even commoners caught consuming the real stuff, well, let's say their future didn't look too bright. Cacao was the nervous system of Aztec civilization, its stratified rules and tentacles spreading into every level of society. Later, a band of pirates in the Caribbean save chocolate and its sweetmeat starts socialism in Europe. But coming up next, strangers arrive in the New World and change chocolate forever.